Dear devotees, we'll continue with the Bhakti Shatak from Doha number 15 tonight, page 30.
Jai Radhe Krishna, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe Krishna, Radhe. 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 Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Krishna. Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna. Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Sachodasana kabahu chaha pachahu mukti bala. Sachodasana kabahu chaha pachahu mukti bala. Thank you. चाहाई युगाल सेवा सदा तीन सुख सुखी सदा राधे राधे चाहाई युगल सेवा सदा तीन सुख सुखी सदा राधे 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 कृष्ण राधे 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 कृष्ण राधे जय 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 राधे कृष्ण राधे 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 कृष्ण राधे
Regarding sadhana bhakti, which is the bhakti that we have to do, it's our daily practice of devotion. We've learned, first of all, that it must be done with the mind. So to do it with our mind, while doing bhakti, we must do rūpa dhyāna. We must meditate on the form of Radha Krishna. Next to this, the next most important point to remember about sadhana bhakti is that we should not ask Shri Krishna for anything. Bhukti mukti sprihayavat pishachi hridivartate Bhakti rasamrit sindhu. Rup Goswami says that there are two chorel, two witches, which a soul can fall under the influence of. One is bhukti, one is mukti. Bhukti means all the worldly attractions that attract your mind with the promise of happiness, but never delivering true happiness. So why is bhukti called a chorel? Literally, pishachi means a witch. Because this bhakti wali chodel, she has been making a fool of the soul since eternity, fooling us with the notion that there's happiness in this world. So for that reason, we call bhakti a chodel. But why is mukti being called a chodel? Rup Goswami, what he's saying is, on the path of bhakti, you shouldn't ask God for bhakti or mukti. Bhakti makes sense. If your goal is to attain God, then why would you ask him for the world? You've got the world already. You don't need more of it. If you multiply your possessions, you also multiply your headaches. Both go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. If you increase something, you get the opposite of it, side by side. As we learned, because all of our experiences of sukh and dukh in this world are due to our own thinking. So if we desire more possessions in order to find happiness, if we desire more relationships in order to find happiness, what are we doing? We're adding more attachments. Now I'm attached to this thing in the hope of finding happiness, and this, and this, and this person, and that person. And what happens once that attachment is born in the mind? Then when I get the thing that I'm attached to, I feel happy. And when I don't get that thing, I feel sad. When I lose that thing, if it's taken away from me or that person leaves me, then again, I feel disappointed. When the person that I'm attached to doesn't give me what I want, doesn't treat me the way I want to be treated, again, I feel angry and frustrated. So, asking God for more of that, what's the sense? We already have lots of that. more than you need of that in your life. So no sense asking him for more bhakti. But why not ask him for mukti? Mukti is a divine thing. Liberation. Liberation is of five types.
Sarshti samipya salokya sarupyaikatvam apyuta diyamanam nagrihnanti vinamatsevanam jana
Bhagavatam. Shri Krishna says there are five muktis. Sarshti, Samipya, Salokya, Sarupya, and Ekatva. Ekatva mukti is the one people usually refer to or they're thinking of when they say mukti. Ekatva means to merge into formless God and become one. This is the mukti received not by bhaktas, but by jnanis. Jnanis, those who follow the path of jnan, they desire such absolute liberation, where you're liberated from maya, and you merge into formless God. But the problem is that having merged into formless God, you have no more experience ever again. It's like being in a peaceful deep sleep, but never to wake up again. And not the kind of sleep where you're having nice dreams and enjoying those dreams. No, you're in deep sleep where you have no self-awareness. You don't even know I exist. You don't even know God exists. You're not even aware of your own blissfulness or the fact that you're free from sorrow. You're not aware of anything. So this is Ekatva Mukti, also called Kaivalya Mukti, also called Advait Mukti. In this state, you don't actually get to experience God or meet God. What about the other four muktis? These muktis all relate to devotees, those who are bhaktas of the personal form of God. But they involve some kind of asking, even though it's an asking for a divine thing. Sarshti mukti, you want the God's power, his Aishwarya Shakti. You want to be able to use that power, like maybe act as Brahma or something. Samipya Mukti, you're saying, I want to be close to you all the time in your divine abode. Maybe become your ear pendant or something like that. Sarupya Mukti, you're saying, oh Mahavishnu, I want a roop just like yours. I want four arms and I want to be dressed and looking just like you. That's Sarupya Mukti. Salokya Mukti, I want to enter into your divine abode and enjoy the bliss of that abode, the opulence of that abode. There's some kind of desire, even though it's a divine desire. So of course, such a desire results in freedom from Maya. It's not like a worldly desire that keeps you bound here. Such a divine desire releases you from Maya. Then why is it being criticized that even desire for such muktis is, well, undesirable? The first one is obvious. If that one grabs you, that witch of ekatva mukti grabs you, she's never letting go. She's got control of you, and you'll be in that state of ekatva mukti forever. And you'll never get premanand. You'll never get that divine bhakti. The other four muktis, at least you get to meet God. You get to experience His divine bliss. You get divine bhakti. But there are different levels of divine bhakti. So you won't reach that highest level of divine bhakti. Because if you ask for something, then you get just that. But the thing that's beyond that, I'll explain in a minute. It's with the desire for that thing that's beyond all the things you can ask for, that Shri Krishna, this is why he indicates, diyamanam nagrihananti. My true devotee doesn't accept any of the five muktis, even if I'm giving it. Diyamanam. I'm giving it. Nagrihananti. He's not accepting it. Imagine you're offering something, and the person's like, no. Like if you're trying to put more food on my plate when I'm already full, and I'm holding my hands over the plate. That's what it's like with Shri Krishna's trying to give his bhakt mukti, and he's saying, no, I'm not taking it. Keep your mukti, I'm not interested. He says, Vina mat sevanam jana. My devotees desire to serve me. So here in this doha, Shri Kripaluji Maharaj has written, Sancho das kabahu chah panchahu mukti na kabahu chah panchahu mukti balai. Sancho Das. Remember I told you what is the actual identity of a soul? One of the explanations was that since we are Ansh of Shri Krishna, so we're His natural servant. That is our identity. We are His Das. That's who we are. So our true identity as a Das means we shouldn't be thinking to ask anything from Him, including mukti. What should we be thinking of? Chahai yugala seva sada. We should always desire yugala seva, the seva of Radha and Krishna. Tina sukha sukhi sadai. And always remain happy in their happiness. So our happiness is still a consideration. Of course we want to be happy. We won't be bereft of happiness. Don't worry about that. But see, when we're asking for even mukti, what is foremost in our mind? My happiness. I want this mukti for my happiness. But the true das is thinking, tat sukha sukhitvam. According to Naradji, the true devotee of Shri Krishna is thinking, I want to be happy in His happiness. See the difference? There's one adjustment to make. I still want happiness, but I want to be happy in His happiness. So I want to make Shri Krishna happy. That's the definition of seva. your savior, the one you want to serve, you want to make him happy. You desire for his happiness. This is true bhakti, true nishkam bhakti. This is the core philosophy of Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. Shri Krishna Sukhaika Tat Paryamayi Bhakti. He put it just in one phrase like that. Shri Krishna Sukhaika Tat Paryamayi Bhakti. Bhakti, which is done for the purpose of giving happiness to Shri Krishna, with the goal of becoming his true servant. Right now we have claim to the title of servant only because technically we're his ansh. But we can't say that we're actually serving him right now. What will we serve him with? Our body? That's a material thing. Is a material body of any use to God? You may say, okay, well, my body may be material, but I'm strong. Strong? How strong? God has unlimited strength. Does he need your strength? I'm very intelligent. God has unlimited intelligence. Does he need our intelligence? So he doesn't need our body. He doesn't need our mind. In fact, he's the one giving life to our soul. So he's the owner of our soul. We already belong to him. So what are we going to give him anyway? Whatever we're going to offer him is already his. We're offering him all of his things back. When even I am yours, then what am I going to offer you that's not already yours? But he says, patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyu pahrita mashnami prayatat mana gita. He says, if you offer it with bhakti, selflessly, with faith and love, like a child, then I accept it. I accept your seva. We just have to offer the seva with childlike innocence, faith, and love. Not pride, but humbleness. Not out of fear, but out of apanapan. Out of a feeling of affinity for him. That you're mine, so I want to serve you. I was listening to a speech of Sri Maharaj's this morning, and he was giving a real-life example. I forget the name of the person he was referring to. There was a very important individual who was raising money for the formation of Banaras Hindu University. Maybe some of you know who that was. Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan who? Malvi. Madan Mohan Malvi. So, Malvir. So, Sri Maharaji was telling that he went to everybody to raise funds. Rich and poor, everybody. He said, I have this project. If you think it's a worthy project, please give. So he went to, you know, Karorpati, Arabpati, Kharabpati, millionaires, billionaires, and he went to beggars. So the millionaires and the billionaires, they would give maybe, you know, 1 or 2 lakh, like pocket change for them. This one bhikari that he went to, this one beggar, had been begging the whole day, and he had collected 5 ane, less than a rupee, less than a paisa. What? How much is an ane? 4 ane is how much? 1 rupaya. So it's 1.25 rupaya he had. Okay. So that's what he had collected all day. Imagine, what can you buy with 1 rupees? I know it takes 4, even today, it takes 4 rupees to buy a pack of Parleji. So what was he going to eat with 1¼ rupees, 5 ane? That's what he had. And when Madan Mohan Malvir came to him, that's what he gave him. And he was so touched by this act of this beggar, he embraced him and started crying. He was so touched. And he said, "This is all you've collected today and you're giving it to me? What are you going to eat?" He said, "I'll eat tomorrow. You're such a great person. You've come to me asking for something. I feel happy to give it to you." He said, "I know my university is going to get built now, definitely, with support of people like you." So God is like that with us. It's not even anything we have. Truly, the value is not even 5 ane for God. But He takes it as a great value. That, these children of mine, they're offering me with their whole heart. That's what He's looking at. Patram pushpam, right? Give me a leaf even. Never mind a flower or a fruit. Give me a leaf or a glass of water. But if you offer it with bhakti, His heart melts. So really He's looking for that faithful, selfless dedication. This is the bhakti we should aspire to. We'll never reach that bhakti if we're asking Him for worldly things, or even if we're asking Him for mukti, we'll never reach that stage of bhakti. When Prahlad met God face to face in the form of Narsingh, after killing Hiranyakashipu, he said, "Varam bruhi, ask for a boon. I've come to you. Everybody asks for a boon." Prahlad said, "Nasa bhritya savai banik." He says, "I'm a soul. I'm supposed to be your servant. But that servant who asks for something from his master is no longer a servant. He's a banik, a baniya, a businessman. I don't want to be a businessman. I want to serve you for your happiness." So nonetheless, Bhagwan insisted that he ask for something. So what did 7-year-old Prahlad ask for? Kamanam hridya sanroham bhavatastu vrine varam bhagavatam. He said, "Make my mind such that I never ever think of asking you for anything ever again. That's what I want from you." So it's for this reason that Sri Maharaji with this doha is highlighting the importance of this. The first thing we learned about bhakti, it must be done with the mind. You must do rup dhyan, no matter what form of physical devotion you're doing. Now number two, don't ever ask Him for bhakti, don't ever ask Him for mukti. Just ask Him for His seva. "I want to do your seva, and that too for your happiness." Not like that kind of seva that, "Well, I like doing, I like cooking for you, but I'm not hungry. I'm thirsty. Can you bring me water? But I want to make you pakoda. I want to do the seva of making you pakoda, but I'm just thirsty for some water." No, "I made this with so much love. Please eat my pakoda." Well, seva nahi hai. So seva is tat sukha sukhitvam, for His happiness, serving Him for His happiness, and then being happy in His happiness. And that happiness is the highest of all. That is actually the highest state of divine bliss, that state of nishkam bhakti. So the next doha also tells more about this nishkamta, so we'll sing further ahead.
Jai Radhe Krishna Radhe 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 Krishna Radhe 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 Jai Radhe Jai Radhe Radhe Krishna Jai Krishna Jai Krishna Jo Swami so chahai kachu so nahi das kahay radhe radhe Jo Swami so chahai kachu so nahi das kahay radhe radhe So Swami na kahai jo das hi aas lagai radhe radhe So Swami na kahai jo das hi aas lagai radhe radhe Jai Radhe Krishna Radhe 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 Krishna 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 Radhe
That Das is not a true Das who demands anything from his Swami. And that Swami is not a true Swami who has any hope of getting something from his Das. Now in the world, both the Swami, the Master, and the Das, the servant, want something from each other. The Master wants the servant to serve him. He needs something from him. He wants something done. And the servant wants something in return from the master. So again, it's a give and take relationship. But in bhakti, it's the exact opposite. Both on the path of bhakti and after attaining divine bhakti. When you go and meet God and stay in the divine world, it's the opposite. Neither the Swami desires from his Das, nor does the Das desire from his Swami. In fact, a reversal can take place. Whereas right now our position is that God has everything, we have nothing divine, so what can we serve God with? Only once we get divine bliss would we have some means of serving God. Only after meeting him face to face would we actually be able to do some seva to him. But at the moment he accepts our seva bhav. He accepts that those sincere feelings, that desire to serve, is what melts his heart, even though we actually don't have anything to serve him with. But after meeting God, bhakti is so great, this power of divine bhakti. As you learned, it makes God forget his godliness, and it makes the soul forget his insignificance. And the tables turn. God becomes the Das, and the soul becomes the Swami. Aham bhakta paradhina hyasvatantra ivadvija sadhu bhirgrasta hridaya. He says, Shri Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam that those devotees, those selfless devotees, who just have the desire to serve me and they surrender to me with that desire to serve me for my happiness, those devotees capture my heart. And I become subservient to them. Aham bhakta paradhina. Bhagwan, who is parama swatantra, he has supreme independence. He can never be dependent to anyone for anything. Everyone is dependent on him for everything, for their very life. Maya depends on him to make this universe. Yet, he submits himself to the bhakt. Think about that. We didn't give anything to deserve that. But he's so soft-hearted that when a devotee surrenders with that kind of sincere, selfless love for him, his heart melts and his godliness is gone for that soul. His greatness is gone as far as he's concerned. He makes himself small in front of that soul. He says, you gave everything to me, you surrendered yourself to me and didn't ask for anything, and you desired to serve me for my happiness, so what can I give you? Bhagwan Ram says to his servant Hanumanji, Ekaikasyopakarasya pranan dasyami te kape Sheshasyohopakarasya Sheshasyahopakarasya Bhavam Rinino Vayam. Valmiki Ramayana. He says, oh my dear servant Hanuman, to repay even one of the debts that I owe to you. That's how he feels when someone serves him selflessly. He feels that's a debt. To repay even one of those debts, I have to give you my pran. I would have to sacrifice my life for you. And that would repay one of the debts. What about all the others? Bhavam rinino vayam. I'll just have to remain indebted to you forever. When Uddhav was coming back to Braj, Shri Krishna sent him from Mathura to Braj, and he sent a message not only for the gopis, but for his mother, Mother Yashoda. So Uddhav was saying that, you know, she's most likely going to ask me, why hasn't he come back? It's only a few miles away. It's been years and he hasn't come back to visit me once. His own mother, of course she's going to ask Uddhav that. What answer will I give her? So Shri Krishna said, you know, when I was 6 days old, Putana came to me and she smeared poison on her breast with the intention of killing me, and then she made me suckle her milk. And I drank her milk, and since I drank her milk, instead of punishing her, since she came as with that intention of killing me, since I drank her milk, I considered her to be my mother, so I sent her to my divine abode. So when I gave Putana, the one who gave me poison milk to drink, when I sent her to my divine abode, I gave her my divine abode. What's greater than that? I don't have anything left to give after that. So what am I going to give to my mother Yashoda, who fed me nectar like milk? I have nothing to give her. So when someone is so much indebted that he has no way of getting out from under his debt, he may just leave town, right? So Shri Krishna left town. He went to Mathura. And only when he finds a way to repay his debt, then he'll be able to come back. So he says, that's the message you should give to my mother. The gopis had the most selfless love for Shri Krishna. Yat te sujat charanam buruham staneshu. In the Bhagavatam, it's told, the gopis are saying to Shri Krishna, that our viraha for you when we're separated from you burns so intensely in our heart, it's unimaginable. It's like an infinitely great longing to meet Shri Krishna. So imagine if your longing to meet someone is that intense, that pang of separation is so intense, every moment will feel like a yug for you. And when you finally meet Shri Krishna, how much will you just want to run and embrace him and squeeze him tight to make that fire of viraha, that pang of separation, calm down? like you would if you lost your kid for 10 days and all of a sudden you got him back. You'd squeeze him so tight he'd probably start, "Mom, it's too hard." You realize, "Oh, I forgot." That's just with a little bit of material longing in material love. Imagine the gopis who experience unlimited bliss in meeting Shri Krishna and also have unlimited feeling of separation when apart from him. They say, "Oh, Shri Krishna, when we meet you, to calm that fire of separation in our heart, we take your lotus foot and we put the sole of your foot on our chest like that. And it calms, it cools that fire of separation and we feel better. But when we do so, we put your foot very carefully. Bhita shanai. Bhita means we're afraid that if we do it too hard, it may hurt your foot. So we do it very carefully. Who puts someone else's happiness in front of their happiness like that? Only the gopis. Yatha braja gopika naam. Narad ji, when he was asked to describe this state of bhakti, first he said, anirvachaniyam prema swarupam. Narad Bhakti Darshan. It can't be put into words. So he said, "Okay, give us an example then, Naradji, of this selfless love, this tat sukha sukhitvam that you're talking about. Who is the best example?" He said, "Yatha braja gopika naam." The gopis are the only topmost example of this selfless love. So Shri Krishna says to the gopis as well that even if I lived for a dev-ayu, life of the devtas, see, when Shri Krishna comes here on earth, he only stays for a normal lifespan. So at the end of Dwapar Yuga, he stayed for 125 years. That's it. But the devtas, they live for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of our years, even millions of our years. So he says, even if I stayed here for a life of a devta, even then I couldn't repay my debt to you. So I will just remain indebted to you forever. This is what happens if you don't ask him for anything. You just want to serve him. Think of that like the key that unlocks the treasury to everything. If the king comes to you and says, "I'll give you anything you want. See, I have this treasury. Pick anything out of here. I'll give it to you." What will the intelligent person say? He'll say, "I want the key to the treasury. And I can come and take whatever I want, whenever I want." So that selfless bhakti is the key to the treasury. If you have that, he's yours. There's nothing he can hide from you. That's why muktim dadasi karhichit smana bhakti yogam bhagavatam. Vedavyasji says, that's why he hides that key behind his back. He's very quick to give mukti. "Oh, you asked me for one of the five muktis?" It's like, phew, great. I won't have to be indebted to this soul. I won't have to become paradheen to this soul. See, what did he tell Kagbhushundi? Ask for anything. Ask for wealth, aparanidhi. Ask for siddhis, yogic siddhis, ask for moksha. And Kagbhushundi said, "Aviral bhakti vishuddha tav shruti puran jehi gav." I want that aviral vishuddha bhakti, which is sung about and praised in all of the Puranas, Vedas, all the scriptures. That's what I want. In other words, I want the thing you're hiding in your back pocket. you're holding all these things out to me. Why don't you ask for this? Why don't you ask for that? If I ask for that, then you'll be happy, like, okay, my work is done here. But if I ask for that aviral bhakti, that divine selfless bhakti, then you're mine forever. So if someone has a true guru that gives them true tatva gyan, tab Thakur ji ghabarate hain unke aage. Ab kya karun? Ye kuch nahi mang raha hai mujhse. Iska das banna padega mujhe. Isko sahi guru mila hai. So we want that kind of bhakti. Just say Thakur ji ghabarayenge. Then what can I do? This soul isn't asking me for anything. I'm going to have to give my own self to him. Then you get the ras of the true leelas. When the tables turn, he becomes the das, the soul becomes the swami. Then you get the real ras of the leelas and you get the closest relationship that you can have with Shri Krishna. Further ahead, Shri Maharaj Ji describes some more important points regarding the path of bhakti in the next two dohas regarding the divine name of God and how that can be used in our devotion. And we'll take that up tomorrow. Boliye Ladli Lal Ki Jai.